Get back to your seats, kids. We're going to get started. Calvin Curley Show, you write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. You come on in. I just downloaded Yellowstone, Tom.
Oh, good. And you'll love it because as soon as...
It's life-changing.
As soon as one episode ends, it starts. Okay, if you want to watch the next episode, it'll start in 7 seconds, 6 seconds, 5. That's how you end up watching 7 episodes in a row. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into.
That's the binging. Here comes that wooden wagon, Tom. The wooden wagon bringing in the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar, and here she comes in now. No horses, just the... It sounds like Sean has slipped a sound effect of horses underneath this. Sean, is that the intern that we met like 3 weeks ago pulling the wagon?
Yeah.
Misty. What's his name? Justin?
Misty.
Jason? They're all... What's his name? Misty?
Yeah.
That's a girl. That's a girl.
Play Misty for me.
Hey, man.
So
girls
we have
can
in
have
tandem
jobs
the conversation
too.
Of he won't be Listen. Given security and also... concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
Oh my!
And
wait a minute.
So
she's shocked.
This is a disaster.
Potentially.
She's shocked. Diving in. Teeny tiny shock, Tom. Shocked. Gambling. I couldn't believe it. All right. Hey. Parents, they sent out a survey, I think, on the 5th of January asking pre-K to what, first grade or something like that. Do you want your kids to go back to school? What are your concerns? I had seen a survey that was sent out as well to the parents back in December. There was 328 pages of it. I started reading it. I'm like, my thumb's getting tired. This is life-changing. This is like watching episodes of Yellowstone. Most of the reviews that I had come across, parents were like, come on. You should have this plan in place during the summer. What's going on? My kids aren't learning anything. But here we go. Seattle schools announced they are returning the students without the union agreement. And that's sparking all sorts of controversy and confusion. I think Cairo 7 did some of the heavy lifting for us on this. All right. Well, it's not that easy, Tom. There's a lot of manipulating of the math.
Seattle Public Schools is sharing videos with parents saying they're welcoming back pre-K and some special ed students this Thursday.
I just feel like it's really misleading on the district's part.
But parents say they know there's no agreement yet between the district and the teachers union, Seattle Education Association.
I just think it's insane. Like, I'm like, what are you doing?
A union rep and occupational therapist in the district tells me one holdup is teachers want safety precautions in writing.
When it wasn't in writing in the contract, then we weren't protected.
She says some schools in the district are less prepared than others.
Not every school is ready to return. One of the big things at the bargaining table right now is inequity across the district.
Public health ethics expert at UW Bothell, Dr. Dan Bustillos.
Schools are traditionally underfunded.
Points out resources can vary dramatically between schools.
If the teachers feel unsafe and if they can point to real lapses in the precautions and in the sort of rigor of precautions taken in a particular school, then I would side with the teachers.
The union says it's also fighting for stronger remote options for the families who don't want to come back. A survey from Seattle Public Schools of pre-K through first grade and certain special ed students shows more families of color are choosing to stay remote. 56% of white families want in-person learning, but only 47% of Hispanic families and just 33% of Asian and Black families are opting to return to the classroom.
I'm not fighting to prevent in person. I'm fighting for a plan that I think is way better for my students than what the district has currently proposed.
Meanwhile, parents and students are caught in the middle.
It feels like two parents are getting a divorce and fighting.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of interesting.
Wow. Lots of stuff there.
Yeah.
So are they sending in? This is pre-K to first grade, right? Just this group?
Pre-K to first grade and some special ed students.
Okay.
So this is a very small, group of their students. But Seattle Public Schools has decided they're gonna open come hell or high water, and that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a cheeky move on part of Seattle Public Schools that they say, hey, we're opening on Thursday before they have an agreement. That's why it's unusual to see a parent, I think, in one of these reports go, hey, that's the school district is acting out of line because we know there isn't an agreement. What are you trying to pull on us? They say we're gonna have staff to cover for the teachers when they're not there. We don't know if there's gonna be much instructional stuff, but this is pre-K to first grade and a few special ed students.
Okay, so they're going in there. Are these non-union teachers that are going in and pre-K? So that's the you're wiping.
Yeah, I don't. I think acids, right? I would assume they're union.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh well.
But they're not going in.
That are going back in there. They're okay. Are the kids, the pre-K kids and first grade? Those parents, those kids are going back into school.
According to Seattle Public Schools, but the teachers say we don't have an agreement, so we're not going to be there. So the kids that are going to school will be taught by non-teachers.
Okay. Well, there's not much teaching going on when you're in pre-K, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are experts in early childhood education, but I think that in terms of what we expect, if they're babysitting in effect, you might not need that preschool education degree to deal with preschoolers. That may just show you how little I know about what happens in preschool these days, though. But up to first grade, by first grade, they are students.
Right. So pre-K is 2.5 to 4.5, right in there.
Okay.
So when they say 57% of whites want the kid to go back, that's a 2.5 to 4.5 year old kid. And what they say, 47% of black families don't want to go back
this is amazing. No, I wrote these numbers down. 56% of white families, 47% of Hispanic families, only 33% of Asian and black families, and just 28% of Native American families want their kids to even go back. I think the assumption has been it's more like 80 or 90% of parents that want their kids back in. In this particular slice of the student body, it's at the most, it's only 56%, which I find startling. And that's why there is a teacher at the end of that piece who says, I'm not concerned. I'm not trying to keep people out of the classroom. I'm trying to make sure that for the kids that don't want to come in or don't come in, that they have as good an educational choice or a better educational choice than they do right now, which is surprising to me. It might be the early age of those kids, too.
That's what I think as well. This is not so. Let's survey a parent with a fifth grader.
Yes. I'm assuming that'll be a little different.
Yeah. Break it down by color in the highly colorized society that we live in, and then determine from there that the fifth grader would be a certainly different choice for that parent than
could
the pre-K
be
very kid, right? Yeah. All right.
The reason I think they're doing that is because that is the range of students that are supposedly going to start back on Thursday. In other words, they start at the lowest level, lower grades. And so that's why I think that is germane. But yeah, it's probably not, I would assume, but not knowing, that it's not representative of the general school population up through high school.
They went late into the night in order to spend $1.9 trillion. Total amount now spent for the COVID stuff, I think, is $4 trillion. To put that in perspective, $4 trillion is what the U.S. government normally spends annually. $4 trillion. Out of a $22 trillion budget, they take $4 trillion out of your pocket, my pocket, Tom, and then the federal government redistributes that. They have now spent almost $4 trillion combined for COVID-19. The governments across the United States shut down the economy, and then now they will tax my children and your children and grandkids and other people as well. Taxes will go up for everybody in order to pay for the $4 trillion additional dollars, and including the other money that they're going to be spending normally. So, late into Saturday night, they went back and forth. A bunch of amendments were made. They all got rejected. And you eventually have Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, who is still a good Democrat, and he still likes to spend a large amount of money. He changed a few things around, but he is really the most powerful guy in Washington.
Yeah.
And it goes 49-50 is the vote on this, and they'll go back to the House. The House will see a few changes. They'll spit on it a little bit, shine it up, kick it out, and there it goes to the president's desk. He will have it signed in a couple of weeks, and you now have more money going out to a whole bunch of people, whether they need it or not.
The main thing that Joe Manchin managed to squeeze out of the Senate Democrats was that The House had passed $400 per week extra jobless aid through August, and he got it whittled down to $300 through September. Yeah. That was sort of the bargaining chip that he used. And for those of you, and I think there may be a number of people listening, I mean, in our audience who are expecting to receive things, if this goes according to plan, that it passes the House and there's not an objection and it's signed into law, they want to try to do it by this particular weekend because the jobless benefits run out this weekend and they wanted to have it no break for the unemployed. And so the plan is now that you may get it as early as this weekend. It'll certainly try to be signed before then. You'll be getting your $1,400 and your $300 per week jobless aid.
So if you're a couple and you're making less than $160,000, you could get $2,800 deposited right into your checking account. And who wouldn't want that? The hard part
even
for
Republicans
Democrats
did.
Is they continue. Sure. Listen, Republicans, there's a difference between a Republican and a conservative. A conservative would say, why send it out to everybody? Yeah. Why continue to have this debt? That's a conservative. They're Republicans that want to get elected. And if you can take money and hand it to somebody, it makes you very, very popular, Republicans and Democrats. The fact that Joe was able to get them to go from 400 to 300 and continue it into September, it doesn't matter. What the problem is that if you look at the economy and you see how things are moving and you see that we've created 368,000 new jobs just last month, many of them coming back in the restaurant business. We're at 6.5% or 6.8%, and it's going down when it comes to unemployment, and GDP is also increasing. The problem is it's not as dire as they want you to think it is, but they want you to receive free money from the government so that when it comes time to get elected and reelected, you will remember, that's the guy, that's the gal that sent me money. And it's as simple as that.
It could be, but I mean that's how a lot of politics operates. Now the economy is coming back.
If you want to live in a world where the government, where the people that are writing the checks to you are sending you the money so that you keep them in office, if you like that sort of world, that's a very dangerous place to be, because now all we do is just continue to send money to people, whether they need it or not, and then they will then in return give us their vote.
Well, it's seen as partly a stimulus package, which is the idea that you'll goose the economy as well.
No. You don't need to.
Yes.
You don't need to boost and stimulate the economy. It's already moving. You want to stimulate
it? Not,
allow people to go back to work.
Yes.
Allow people to go back to work.
The key, though, is the ones that are hit hardest are the ones that need this money, and that's where this money is eventually going to go. The economy is starting to come back, but the people at the top of that grouping are getting back into business, but not the ones hit hardest. And that's why they increased the child tax credit too. Now it's up to $3,000 per child. So there are ones that are hit hardest, and if they wait till for another year or two before the economy gets back going, they're going to suffer. So this is a trying to get kids out of poverty, you know, children in poverty aid and all that.
Yeah, they're starving.
That's the design of this.
Yeah. That's a great line. 40% of the people that will be receiving this will be receiving more money by not working than working. So here's the question, Tom. If you can receive money by sitting on your rear end and watching one episode after another of Yellowstone, why would you go back to work?
Because this is not endless. It is short term. And as we have an example in Stockton's basic income experiment.
That's not what I asked.
They end
why
up
would
saying
you go back to work?
Because people go back to work. They were given this money, and it did not affect their jobs. They ended up staying in their jobs, even though they were given the money or take jobs.
Not Stockton.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
right now. The guy sitting at home right now.
Yes.
And 40% of the people that will get this extra money, the state money plus the additional $300, 40% will be getting paid more to sit at home than to go to work. So you're telling me they will go back to work in September when the job – when the money runs out.
They might even go back sooner, but the point that I'm bringing up Stockton is because they showed that getting free money did not impact your non-working. You ended up working more, and it did not affect job loss when you got this free money. So I'm trying to deal with the philosophical approach. Oh, if you give somebody money, they'll work less. That's not the case. In this case, John, if you're unemployed, you get benefits.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you want that,
Tom? You know, yeah. I don't mind. You're trying to stimulate the economy. You know what stimulates the economy? People working and producing something. You know what doesn't stimulate the economy? Paying somebody to sit at home.
Yes,
last year when they were paying people to sit at home, people sat at home. And there was big stories. Employers said, we can't get them to come back. We want to hire people. This was in July.
Right.
We want to hire people, but they won't come back because they're sitting at home because they're getting paid to sit at home.
That's right. But that's not most people. But that's anecdotally true, that there are some individuals that are better off. And especially if you come from lower
40%.
Income kinds of minimum wage states like South Carolina, that might indeed be the case. So if you say 40%, I don't know where that number comes from, but that means 60% aren't in better shape. So at least those 60% will be going back. And the question is, are the jobs there to be had? That may be why you need the extra jobless aid.
Oh, I see. So paying somebody more money to sit at home will create a job.
You're not paying them to sit home. You're paying them because they can't get a job.
Okay. So they're getting paid $700 or $800 a week. I'm an employer, and I need them, and I can offer them $600. Do they take the job and take a $200 pay cut?
Some might not. And the thing is, if that's the case, majority of people
you're
that are benefiting from jobless aid.
You're a fool, Tom. You're a fool if you take the pay cut.
John, there's so much. If you could work for free for a month, but you get a job for a year out of that, you would do it. That's what I'm talking about. Once the economy gets up, there's more that drives people than just the check, because they realize, I got this check right now, but I might not have a check a year from now. I'd like, if I can get in, into a good job, I'd do it.
All right, Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. Shouldn't you ask your smart speaker, Tom, rather than tell your smart speaker to play?
Would only
Can
be polite.
You write that differently? It's hard
yes.
to say. You know, tell your smart speaker. I don't like that. Also, I have a sign out here that in the cabin says, no trespassing, no hunting. I've added please, because I thought, there's nothing wrong with that. And I had a lawyer friend of mine go, you don't want to mess with those signs. You don't want to mess with those signs. By putting please in there, it makes it seem like, oh, please, please. So, don't tell your smart speaker. Ask your smart speaker. Hey, what do you say you play the Tom and Curly Show?
Treat your servants well, John.
That's right. Come on, Tom. You never know what they're putting in your coffee. All right, the CDC has come out. Is this Dr. Rachel? Is this the one that said you don't need to get a vaccination if you're a teacher? I thought they would have fired her. Okay, here we go. So this is, you get vaccinated, but
fully vaccinated people can visit with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing a mask or physical distancing. Visit with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk of severe COVID-19 disease indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing. And refrain from quarantine and testing following a known COVID-19 exposure if the vaccinated person remains asymptomatic.
Okay, so you get vaccinated. Okay. You got the vaccination. You got both of them.
You got both of them, and it's 2 weeks after the second one.
You can't come and hang out with me?
You
have to wear a mask? Why do you have to wear a mask? If you're vaccinated, why are you wearing a mask? You're obviously not going to hurt me, and I'm not going to hurt you, or I don't think I'm going to hurt you.
Well, that's
I don't
not
have any
obvious.
The symptoms. Obvious in the sense that I'm asymptomatic, and studies are starting to show asymptomatic less likely to transmit. But that aside, why does the person who got vaccinated have to wear a mask?
Okay, so this is in public spaces. I'll get to you specifically, John, but in public spaces, the argument that they're making is that we know that if you're with just vaccinated people, you're okay and you don't need masks. Yeah. But when you're in public, what you don't know is how many people are out there that are unvaccinated that might be vulnerable that you don't know. And it hasn't been ruled out that even though you are doubly vaccinated, that you might still be transmitting the virus. They just don't know enough. They say it looks like there's less of a chance that it's, but they don't have the final science. So he said, so just to be safe, You don't want to go out in public. Now, then they also say, for instance, if you know the people, like if it's your family, it's like an extended family situation. So you're a grandparent. You're both of the grandparents are doubly vaccinated and they're going to a house and you know that nobody in your family or in that house has double core morbidities and all of this kind of stuff. Then you're probably okay. But they say if the neighbors come over where you don't know as much about them, that's when you shouldn't.
Look out.
And so, John, you, to me, if I come and visit you at your cabin, you, to me, are not family. And I don't know enough about your personal medical information to know if you are susceptible. And I would hate to give you the vaccine unknowingly.
I would be honored.
That's right.
So let's say, again, you got vaccinated. And you got the double, you got the whole thing.
Yeah, got the whole thing in 2 weeks.
We'll continue to examine this in the upcoming weeks and update our guidance accordingly. Fully vaccinated people should continue to take precautions like in public, like wearing masks and physical distancing.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Here's why.
No, I like, go ahead. Give me your theory.
I'll give you more, and then I'll give you the truth.
Distance and adhere to other prevention measures when visiting with unvaccinated people who are at increased risk of severe COVID or who have an unvaccinated family member, household member, who is at increased risk of COVID. Wear masks, physically distance, and practice other prevention measures when visiting with unvaccinated people from multiple households. Avoid meeting in large-sized crowds. Get tested if experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. Follow guidance issued by individual employers. And follow CDC and Health Department travel recommendations.
Okay, here's the difference.
Okay.
Having traveled outside of the this East German proletariat area that we live in the state of Washington, gone to seven different states, and I can tell you what happens. If you don't wear a mask, other people are like, well, what the hell am I doing wearing a mask? You get vaccinated. You have to go out with that mask to continue to make everybody scared crapless. You have to keep everybody thinking that it's right around the corner so that everybody, just like Fauci lied to us about a herd immunity, you have to keep people thinking it's right there so they all get vaccinated. I'm not a conspiracy theory person with a vaccine. You want to get vaccinated? Go ahead and get vaccinated. I got it. I know it's not actually part of the cells. I got all this other stuff. But you need to keep everybody wearing masks so everyone is present and aware of the fact that COVID is still there so that we can continue to push people to get vaccinated. As soon as you have people without wearing masks, people then start to feel a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
And they are less likely to think about it. I've seen it. I've been in rooms with people with no masks at all. This thing that I went to on Saturday. No mask. Friday, no mask. That's the way it is in Utah. So they're not aware of it, but here, and the federal government wants everyone to continue to wear them. The question is, if you get double vaccinated, what's the purpose of getting vaccinated if I still have to do this social distancing crap and I still have to wear a mask? Why should I bother getting vaccinated?
Because you
That's what some people are thinking.
Well, you are more protected yourself.
I'm already. I got the needle. I got both
That's
of them.
Amazing.
I suffered 24 hours of flu-like symptoms. Why should I wear a mask? You need to wear a mask to send a signal to everybody else that it's important to get vaccinated and to wear a mask. Because all of a sudden you have the haves and have-nots. The person doesn't have a mask on. Excuse me, sir, you have to wear a mask. Oh, I do? I got vaccinated. Oh, okay, sir, go ahead. Next guy comes to the... Sir, mask on. Oh, I got vaccinated too.
Yeah.
You're going to create an unlevel playing field where some got it, some didn't. So you need everybody keep the facade up, keep your masks on.
So I think that there is a scientific justification for what the CDC is suggesting. However, I do grant you at least half of what you said. I do think that is interesting, too, that if all the vaccinated people I think we're at 40 million right now and it's increasing daily. Get vaccinated, and you have half the people not wearing masks because they've been vaccinated and half the people not wearing masks because they don't like masks, then it's harder to sort of keep that social pressure up of, hey, keep wearing a mask.
Right.
I grant you, there is a political... Good. I don't think it's to scare people. I think it's to get them, to encourage them to do the right thing, and it's harder to, stop and check. Are you a rebel, or are you just... following you know, CDC guidelines. I think I'll grant you part of that, John. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Think about it. Think about it. You're walking around the airport. You've been doubly vaccinated, and apparently you now have 95% immunity or whatever. But now you have to walk around the airport. You can't go, no.
Right.
And on the plane, the same thing on a plane. True. They don't make a distinction because then everybody would say, oh, yeah. Like, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ask you to please remain seated. We have got someone that has a very tight connection. If everyone could just allow this person to get up, get their stuff, and get off the plane first.
Let it
Isn't
go,
Isn't it amazing that nobody waits for that person the same way? People will ride on the back of the guy with, oh, yeah, I got vaccinated too. So everybody keep their mask on. Everybody stay scared. Scared, Tom, is the easiest button to push, and that's what the government pushes. Duck and cover. Everybody under their desks. Look out. Here comes COVID. 99.9% chance
cause,
of surviving
John.
It. That's right. Good cause. All right. Talk to the millions and millions of people out of work. Tracy Taylor.
Hello!
All right, Teeny, calm down. Sean, give me a little of that mailman. Just enough that you can stomach it. Just a little bit of the mailman. So just as much as you can stomach it. Wow. Now, that hurt.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
What if the mailman were standing right in front of you and you did that?
Teeny Tiny breaks
attention. You're like, you didn't mean to turn it off. We'll get to the letter of the day, but first let's take care of all the rest.
So we started off with the capital gains tax. Area code 253 says, Tom, capital gains is income. Ergo, a capital gains tax is an income tax. Don't even try to argue that point. And I won't because that's a tautological fallacy.
Here we go. 206. We moved to Florida in July 2019. Our property tax is about 70% of what it was in Washington State. Sales tax, 7.5. There's no income tax, no capital gains tax, no gas tax. I often wonder, how the hell does this state pay for schools and infrastructures? But somehow it gets done.
On Costco, Joe and Sumner weighs in. There's a Costco just a few miles away from me where many people go to get lots of good deals on stuff. There are also a couple of new self-storage facilities nearby where many people rent space to store all that excess stuff.
Ina in McCleary says, we purchase 80% of our groceries and household goods at Costco's for over 20 years. If I go by myself, I put on blinders and I get what's on my list. If my husband comes along, well, then there's browsing involved.
On the Andy on the Road Less Traveled, area code 206 says, as a fan of the mailman, is Andy from the Road Less Traveled okay? I haven't heard his letter in months.
I texted him and he's doing fine, and we might hear from him later in the segment.
Oh.
Oh, there we go. Street Racing 425 says the people that are racing should have their insurance companies contacted.
And area code 206. What should happen? There should be a legal place to do it.
There you go. 425. John, you should know we all burn cop cars around here. That's
we
true.
Only.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
On John's favorite story, Harry and Meghan, area code 206, these two are playing the ultimate victims.
I love that Curly started this segment by saying he doesn't know anything or care about the story, but still has a hard stance on it. Yeah, I realized I had to jump in there.
Area code 206. I don't believe what Markle says, and it's all about their chance to make more money. Well, they didn't make money from the interview.
No.
Oprah made that straight right off the bat, but go ahead.
When I was a teenager, my friend stole one low-calorie Michelob Ultra out of my parents' fridge and chugged it. He lost his mind and smashed all of my mother's Royal Family Collector's dinner plates on the Laserdisc player. No one cared, not even my mom.
Oh,
end of story. Hard stop.
For those interested, Yonder Cider is currently being sold at Ken's Market now. Yeah, I saw it there, too.
Oh, that's good. I filed a Freedom of Information request to find out the identity of the guy who complained about Yonder Cider. The city is stonewalling me, but I think he needs to be held accountable.
I wonder if he lives in Cleellum. Area code 509. A lot of businesses, including some now large local breweries, started this way. Okay.
That's true. John getting sucked into a TV show. 206. Great show. I guess they're talking about Your Honor. Okay.
Yeah. And then watch Your Honor, 206. Mm-hmm. Area code 253. Yes, on Yellowstone and 425. Yellowstone is pretty good, but life-changing?
1-800-848-9425. If Biden would submit to a blood test to check the DNA, wait, he probably already has blood in his freezer. If we could do a retinal scan.
Eyeball.
Wait, they probably did an eye transplant. If Biden would submit to it. Oh, never mind. Kind regards. QAnon. All right.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
A good conspiracy never goes to waste. Andy on the road less traveled is our letter of the day. Congratulations, Andy. Hi-ho, Fellerinos. Happy friggin' Monday to ya. And hey, long time no talk. Am I right?
Yeah.
Fellows, it's been brought to my attention that I may have been a bit lax in my missives to the big show. Let me assure my several fans and you at the show that I am well and have been leading a non-stop thrill-seeking pandemic life. Why, just today, I changed the strings on the Strat and scooped the cat box. That's all, fellas. I'll write again soon. And hey, how's about a go, Pats? It's been a long time.
There he is.
For the Pats, too.
Andy, by the way, is also doing speed racing and smoky burnouts there in Renton.
That's all she wrote.
That's all
fight.
She wrote.
Didn't write no
it's a fight. It's old fight right stomping ground.
She left the gloom.
All right, I feel like I'm all fine. I want to talk more about the royal family, even though I don't know anything about it.
Just an hour.